Hi everyone, I'm Vicky Watson, an advisor at Clarity, and I'm here with Taylor.
Hi everyone, my name's Taylor Aspinall and I'm a paraplanner here at Clarity, and this is the next episode of our podcast, Clarity on Workplace Pensions.
Clarity On is brought to you by Clarity, experts in strategic financial planning and investment management. With over 25 years of experience in the field, our award-winning team are well positioned to help people navigate the complex world of finance.
I think probably the best place to start is if I ask you, what is a workplace pension?
A workplace pension is a way of saving for your retirement that's arranged by your employer. And it can be called occupational, works, all different names, but basically, in essence, saving for your retirement.
Okay, so what differs from like your usual pensions, like personal pensions and SIPs, ones where your workplace hasn't arranged that for you?
I think the main thing is that your employer will contribute in a workplace pension. So you get the added benefit of maybe them matching what you put in, whereas if you did a pension individually or separately, you'd just be obviously contributing your own money. There are some sort of rules under auto-enrolment that will mean that your employer has to do a minimum amount. Normally that's 3%, and then you'll put in 4% and you'll get tax relief of 1%. So in total, it'll be a minimum of about 8% into your pension.
And for auto-enrolment, there's a certain amount you need to earn, isn't there, before you will qualify?
So there's different criteria. You have to be a worker. You have to earn over £10,000. And you have to be aged between 22 and the state pension age. So those are the sort of key criteria to participate.
And are you restricted by the 3% and 5% rules, or if you wanted to, could you put more into your pension?
So you can. Your employer may contribute more than the 3% minimum. They may match up to a certain amount. In terms of what you can put into a pension, it'll be restricted by either your relevant earnings or your annual allowance. Currently, the annual allowance is £60,000. So you'll be looking to probably not go in over and above that 60, which would be a combination of your employer and your own contribution.
And I guess the flip side to that is, do you have to contribute into a workplace pension?
You can opt out. People do for various reasons. It might be that in the past you had like a type of pension protection, which would mean that you wouldn't be able to contribute any more to a pension. So that would be a reason why you might opt out. Or you might be in the past, again, over or near the lifetime allowance, and you might not want to add to the pension because of that. But you can opt out, but you have to do that annually. I think every year they check in that you need to opt out, so if you want to still do so.
And it's quite interesting, isn't it, following the spring budget and the removal of the lifetime allowance, a lot of people are restarting pension contributions.
Yeah, I think quite a few people that were not contributing to a pension and certainly opting out of a workplace pension that maybe had fixed protection, obviously that sort of protection you weren't able to contribute in the past anymore, and they've restarted contributions, so they have made that adjustment following that change in legislation.
And I suppose it's especially benefited those who have their own limited companies.
Yeah, so if you've got your own limited company, you can maybe use your company to make the pension contribution, i.e. an employer contribution. So if you do contributions through the company, then it's generally tax deductible for the company. So that will reduce the taxable profits and save on corporation tax.
But you would still be liable to personal tax, wouldn't you, if you made further contributions and have used up your lifetime allowance or don't have any more tax-free cash left?
Why would you add more to your pension if you're already over the lifetime allowance? Well, it is outside of your estate for inheritance tax as it stands. And obviously you have a larger pot to spend and it grows in that tax-free environment, but you'll still only be able to get the same amount, you know, the standard tax-free cash amount of 25% of whatever lifetime allowance you have, whether that's the standard lifetime allowance. Thereafter, anything you take from the pension would be taxed at your marginal rate of income tax.
And what are the general advantages of workplace pensions over personal pensions?
The main ones will be that, one, the charges are usually a bit lower because obviously they're, well, often it might be from a large number of people, so they can keep the charges lower. But also it's usually the employer contribution that you'll obviously get through a workplace pension scheme, that if you set up your own personal pension, you usually won't be getting that contribution, that whether it be matched or otherwise. I think the other thing, do you know much about like workplace pensions and the investment options? Have you looked at Nest or anything like that? Do you know what they sort of offer?
So yeah, I know Nest pensions were basically set up to facilitate auto enrolment, but I guess really they're just a simple pension scheme sort of aimed at smaller companies. And I know there's other providers out there such as like PensionBee that offer similar sort of schemes.
Yeah, so I think smaller companies, obviously to keep costs low, they're going to use a provider that, you know, is cost effective. And those providers, sometimes they use sort of investment options that will be linked to maybe a target retirement date. So it will be linked to your age. So when you start saving, if you're the younger you are, the more likely they would put you in sort of higher, more proportion to equities, higher volatility, volatile assets. And then the older you get, the nearer you get to retirement age, that will shift automatically, much like lifestyling, where there's an automatic shift to whether you're doing an annuity or a drawdown. And therefore, by the time you get to nearly approaching retirement age, you'll be more in cash and fixed interest bonds and sort of lower volatility assets. So that's something to watch out, because not everyone maybe is going to spend their pension at the retirement date. And also they might have that invested for longer, so it might not be appropriate to have that automatic shifting. But it's useful, I think, initially for younger people, because obviously it takes out that query or question about what they should invest in. It makes it more straightforward.
Is there much flexibility within those schemes? Like, can you manage the investments yourself if you wanted to, or hire a financial advisor?
Well, you can't, like the Nest, you can't get an advisor, or you can get an advisor to look at the fund if there is a choice. It might just be a target dated fund, as I say, purely based on your age. Some other workplace pensions might have more of a choice of funds, investment funds. So you could ask an advisor to sort of do a risk profile, go through that sort of task with you. What's your risk profile? And then determine, like, obviously your time scale to spending and what sort of capacity for loss you have. And then, you know, make some recommendations for the fund options. Alternatively, you might use a financial advisor to actually recommend a pension outside of their workplace scheme. So maybe they contribute in, obviously, within the workplace pension, but they may have more earnings that they want to contribute to a pension, and they'll do that maybe outside in a personal pension. So they have a bit more flexibility in terms of the investment options they'd have at that point.
And in terms of like protection, or I guess insurance for your pension funds, I know for defined benefit pensions, there's the government's pension protection fund. But for the types of pensions that we've been discussing, like defined contribution, is there any sort of protection in place?
I think they're usually sort of done on a trust base. So they're not directly involved in the company finances. They're sort of set apart from that. And there'll be trustees which manage the pension. So those assets are set apart from the company's assets. So there is that sort of distinction of between them.
So the company itself could never use pension funds for its own personal
uses. No, that's right, yeah.
And when are you able to access your retirement benefits under a workplace pension?
Yeah, normally any pension you can access from 55 is the standard sort of age, but that's moving to 57 by April 2028. Other workplace pension schemes might, if they were a final salary, for example, they might have a normal retirement date, which may be more like 60, 65, could be 66. It doesn't mean you can't access your benefits before then. It just might mean that you might have a like an early retirement charge or like a factor that's applied to reduce that pension if you take it a bit earlier. But in theory, they work much like a personal pension where you can access it from 55 and 57 in a few years' time.
And following that increase in the pension age from 55 to 57, do you think there'll be any schemes that will apply any sort of pension age protection to allow the members to still retire at 55?
I think mostly they'll will increase in line with the general move to 57, because I mean, we're certainly with defined benefit pensions as well. Obviously, the liabilities of paying out a pension, the earlier that it starts, as it goes on for a lot longer, it can be, you know, quite onerous for the scheme. But normally, unless you've got protected pension age, which some, I think, like footballers might have a protected pension age because they're in a, you know, they might be have a younger age. Most people would be 55, 57. And of course, that's rising with the state pension age. As that's at 67 at the moment, but that is also expected to increase over time. So we would expect the access of pensions to sort of become longer over time in line with the state pension.
Okay, so that increase in the pension age is going to affect everyone pretty much, isn't it? And I guess something else most people will experience through their lifetime is changing jobs. Could you just cover what happens to a workplace pension once you leave your job? Are you able to transfer those funds, keep it where it is, maybe transfer it into a personal pension?
All of the above you've mentioned. A lot of people don't get around to moving it, so it just stays as a deferred sort of pot or a pot that exists. You're still responsible if it's a money purchase pension or a defined contribution to for that pot of money. So if you don't change the investment ever, it was just going to stay invested in that. You can move, transfer your workplace pension to another pot, potentially another workplace pension, or to a personal pension if you wish. So sometimes we see that people in their sort of 50s, 40s might be thinking about that a little bit more because they're closer to retirement and they want to tidy things up and consolidate. And I think, you know, for younger people with switching jobs maybe more, and the fact we've got auto-enrollment, so everyone has to sort of automatically enroll unless you opt out, there'll be a lot more pension pots and maybe small pots to sort of manage in the future. So it's sort of probably quite important to do a one, keep track of things, and two, maybe you do a consolidation exercise every so often. So yeah, you otherwise, if you've got a defined benefits pension, which for younger people is pretty unlikely these days, but if you did have one, then you'd stay as a deferred member until you retire and reach that retirement age.
Okay, and going back to defined contribution pensions, is it possible to partially transfer out funds while still a member of the scheme or once you've become a deferred member?
Yeah, we've seen that sometimes. So sometimes people have built up quite large pension pots with their employer. But because it's an occupational pension scheme, not always do they offer all the full benefit, flexible benefits that you might get with a newer pension. So sometimes you are able to transfer out up to maybe, it might be you need to leave, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 behind, and obviously you might do so to still get your employer's matched contributions, but with the rest of the money you could transfer it to a new pension which might offer better flexible benefits and a wider fund choice. And yes, an advisor could help you look at that. And certainly,
and I know a big problem a lot of people have is actually knowing what pensions they have. Is there any tools available to sort of locate pensions?
Yeah, there's a government tracking service, I think, that you can use online. I've used it from clients before. You need to know some basic details about like the employer name and maybe roughly when you worked there. Otherwise, sometimes people might just have an old statement but not have much else. So again, they could ask their financial advisor we can get a letter of authority if they've just got some simple information, and we can sort of go to the provider and request that. And sometimes older companies, they get the pension schemes get bought by pension consolidators. So you might find it's gone to one of those companies that manage the old sort of pension schemes for a lot of companies.
What advice would you give to either young people or people thinking about starting a workplace pension?
Whenever I do meet someone who's just maybe started work, I definitely think after you sort of been in a new job, maybe usually the first 3 months, you can then join the pension scheme. And it's a good idea to join, even if it's just you contribute sort of the minimum. And obviously, if your employer does match up to a certain amount, if you've got the flexibility to be able to contribute up to that, that's a really good way to sort of build a pot for the future. And starting early, obviously, you're starting on that compounding, ability to compound returns over time. I think when you're younger, you've obviously got pressures of maybe like looking for a house at some stage and rent and things like that. So, you know, people do find that they don't necessarily can't put everything into a pension. You wouldn't want to, because obviously you want to enjoy life a bit and have a bit of saving for the medium term as well. So it's a bit of a balancing act, maybe to put some in the pension whilst you don't have a lot of family commitments and mortgage and things like that. But also you want to put some maybe, for medium term, maybe in ISAs as well, so you can access it. Because obviously with pension, you do have to wait till your sort of mid to late 50s to be able to access it. But it's certainly a good idea to start early in terms of saving for the future. I do recommend that clients would go and join their workplace pension scheme and match as much as they can or that they're comfortable with.
And I guess being a young person, you'll obviously have a long time horizon in relation to your pension funds and therefore the opportunity to take higher risk with your pension investments.
Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes people inherently a bit nervous when they think about it. When they don't think about it, if they're just put in a target dated fund for retirement, they'll just obviously go with that. And a lot of people actually don't know what's in their pension. I mean, the number of people, you know, you say, what's your pension invested in? They don't know. But yes, the younger you are, in theory, the more sort of riskier assets you can invest in, because you've got that longer time frame before you need to access them. So they've got more time to recover. And over time, we expect especially equities to perform, have a higher return than bonds or cash and things. So definitely. So I always say to clients, try and flex up when you're, certainly for your pension, if you're younger, flex up the risk and go for something like global equities, because you've got the time to wait for it to compound over time.
And what sort of investments can you hold within a pension?
In terms of investments in a pension, well, as I say, we've sort of touched upon those sort of target dated funds, which will have a mix of asset classes. Normally, it'll be a mix of global equities, bonds, maybe cash. The nearer you get to retirement, they might have some alternatives in there, possibly, but it'll be that sort of the mix. And in terms of, other options, there might be index tracker funds that might be what the pension fund offers. So that's funds that passively track a market or an index. Or you might have sort of managed multi-asset funds where you've got a fund manager who's actively making bets, for and against geographical locations or asset classes. And they'll be looking to do that on behalf of fund investors.
So I think overall, workplace pensions are really overlooked, aren't they? They're a lot more useful than people think.
Yeah, and I think people probably need to take a bit more interest in their workplace pension and not just sort of brush under the carpet, especially when you're younger, you think retirement's so far in the future and it's just something that's just in the background. But, if you're invested in the right thing for the longer term, then you can maybe make some good gains and really make a good inroad to saving for your future self and future retirement.
Great. Thanks, Vicky. I hope everyone found that useful. And as usual, you can find us on all the socials such as Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. And our website is www.clarityglobal.com.
Yeah, great. Thank you. See everyone at the next episode.